Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And I like that new short introduction. It's condensed, as it were. And so we have more time to chit-chat, as the kids like to say. We have more time to talk, delve into certain topics that are of interest, let's say, to you, to me, and, well, in some cases, apparently the entire human race. So we'll get into it. First, disclaimer, this is a recorded broadcast, but it is fresh. So fresh, in fact, that you might not even notice it's not live if I were not to disclose the information. But because I like to be, forthright, as it were, I let you know when I'm live and when I'm not. We were expecting a monster storm the last couple days. Apparently, it shifted, and we got some very, flimsy snow flurries at the most. But apparently, Chicago and Detroit are going to get hammered. If you're in Chicago or Detroit, we were supposed to get what you be getting, but the winds shifted, and so all is well. How about them debates, huh? The two things that are sucking up all the oxygen in the news cycle are the coronavirus and the Democratic debates. And I am not inclined to discuss either because, as is always the case with human nature, I think that people overreact. People jump the gun, as the kids like to say, if not outright jumped a shark. I read today that San Francisco has already declared a state of emergency over the coronavirus. And you want to hear the funny thing? Not one confirmed case of coronavirus in San Francisco as of yet. But they've already declared a state of emergency. Never mind that, people are walking around stepping on dirty needles and human feces. It's the one thing that they don't even have a case of that they fear the most. On Tuesday, San Francisco declared a state of emergency over the deadly Chinese coronavirus. Again, balance is key. Let me just begin there. Balance is key. I am not telling you not to be aware of what's going on. Apparently, this thing has spread to Europe. It's in Italy. It's in Afghanistan. It's in Iran. Pretty soon, it will be in Pakistan, as Obama was fond of saying, because, to say Pakistan would be beneath him. It would be lowbrow. So in Pakistan, I am sure you will hear of cases of corona in Pakistan, as well as pretty much everywhere else, because if it wasn't contained at the onset, if it was not contained at the genesis, if they couldn't put a cap on it and keep people from traveling and all that good jazz, because, evidently, you can pass on this thing before you yourself acknowledge and realize that you're symptomatic. So even when you're asymptomatic, you can have the virus, spread it to loved ones, acquaintances, and even enemies. That's the reality of it. Now, as I said, balance being everything, the mortality rate is floating at around 2%, they say. I know that it's a horrible thing to think 2% of people are going to die, and it's those with weakened immune systems, the elderly and the young, that are most prone to mortality, as it were. But as far as, if you want to take diseases or outbreaks or whatever you want to call them, and sort of compares apples and apples or orange and oranges. I'd rather it's Corona than Ebola. Let me just put it that way. So I know it's not fun, but we're going to have to deal with it. We'll get through it. As long as we don't likewise jump off the edge out of fear and start making Jim Baker rich by buying, the silver solution. So that's that. But let's get into what San Francisco did. And then we're going to get into a topic that I really don't want to discuss. I don't want to get into. But apparently there are enough people ignorant of what socialism or communism is. And look, it's the same thing. Let's just be blunt, honest, forthright. Whether it's democratic socialism or communism, it's the same thing. It's, you know, how Shakespeare said, a rose by any other name will smell as sweet. Well, you know what? A cow pie by any other name will smell as foul. Socialism is communism. It's communism without the force. It's communism without the violence. And it always begins the same way. It's mild coercion, which inevitably escalates to violence, because there's only so much you can take from everybody until everybody becomes equally miserable. We're going to get into that. We're going to dissect what communism or socialism or whatever you want to call it is. You know what? If you touch a live wire and you get a shock, and you touch a live wire again and you get a shock, and you touch a live wire a third time and you get another shock, what makes you think that the fourth time is going to be any different? Look, understand that however you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, it has been tried and it has failed. Socialism, communism has been tried. And they have failed. And no, it's not because the people trying to implement it weren't smart enough. If you think that Bernie Sanders has the look of a rogue scholar, if you think that it took one Bernard Sanders to find the missing link, the missing piece, the one thing that would make what has failed in multiple countries over and over again work in America, then you might need to visit a specialist. You might need to go and, you know, get the old head checked, see if, there is something going on that you are not aware of, but that chemical reactions and other non-visual cues are not present. Because there is no one, there isn't one unwashed Bernie fan living in his car, growing out his beard, smelling like stale ale and Slim Jims, that looks at Bernie Sanders and goes, "That man's a genius." No, that man is the natural evolution of, hey, we're going to give you some things for free. Because there will always be someone. Someone will come along, as is inevitable, as has been shown time and again, who looks at the other side and goes, well, if they're offering some things for free, as they would say in California, por qué no todo? See, I said that with an American accent. Actually, if you want to do it Spanish style, it's ¿por qué no todo? That means, why not everything? And that's what Bernie Sanders is. He's the why not everything guy. Look, all of these people sharing a stage with me are insane. They're crazy. But they're only giving you some things for free. Me, Bernard Sanders, a man who's never held down a real job and has been suckling at the teat of government and taxpayers since, well, you know, his early 40s, because he had to get his life together. He's the one that came along and said, why not everything for free? You see, I have no pity for the Democrat Party because this monster that they're attempting to contain, they're the ones that created it. They're the ones that started down the road, hey, we'll give you some stuff for free, wink, wink, vote us in. See, the reason I realized where this was headed is because politicians in every banana republic do the same thing. When it comes time for, elections, when it's election season, the Santa Claus with the biggest bag of goodies oftentimes wins. Now, if there is one silver lining, if there is one caveat, it's that this country is not – this country doesn't have the history that other nations had, wherein socialism was an accepted thing. So it's very difficult for them to go along with what Bernie would like you to have or what Elizabeth Warren or any of the other people. It's a shameful glut of stupid up there. That's the only way you could really boil it down. You watch what they say, and there's the most cringeworthy of all to me. I know we're hopscotching around. We're going to get to San Francisco and the fact that they finally decided to declare a state of emergency for something that has not been confirmed as one case yet in San Francisco. But, you know, people getting buckets of hot human fecal matter dumped on their heads has been going on for quite a while. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube, check it out. If you want to see a truly traumatized individual, this woman had the look in her eye, very similar to people who saw the hells of war up close and personal. You put a guy who saw all of his buddies get shredded by bombs, and this woman side by side, and you'll see that same glazed look in their eyes. That woman's never going to be the same again. And I know it's California and it's warm, but she said it was hot. It was hot human fecal matter that she got showered with. So how do they get it hot? That's of all the things that I heard that disturbed me with this story. And if you don't know it, again, look it up. It's disgusting and gross, but this is what is happening in California. But now they decide it's time to declare a state of emergency because we don't have as yet one documented case of the coronavirus in San Francisco. Perfect time to say state of emergency. Anyway, back to, you know, the absolute grotesque show that has become the six people left running for president on the Democrat ticket. If you haven't seen this, prepare to be angered. Prepare to you know, just clench your jaw to the point that you'll get lockjaw, or bite your tongue to the point that it bleeds. I told you this a long time ago, when there were 376 people running for the Democrat nomination. I told you the most dangerous person on that dais, for various reasons, was a man with large ears, one that does surprisingly look a lot like Alfred E. Newman of Mad Magazine, Pete Buttigieg. I told you, look, because he's the most dangerous one on there. If Pete Buttigieg gets anywhere near the seat of power, kids, if you're a Christian and you believe in your Bible, you are going to have trouble with a big old capital T. Now, the story is from the reputable and reliable Washington Times. And there's been enough talk about it where it's not fake news, where it's not something from The Onion. And the story is this. Pardon me, I'm sipping on a hot beverage from time to time because my throat is still a little, sore. So, Pete Buttigieg helps 9-year-old boy come out as gay. at a Denver rally. You heard that correct. Pete Buttigieg helped a 9-year-old boy come out as gay at a Denver rally. Nine. See, we need to keep numbers at the forefront of our mind when it comes to this sort of just insanity. They're transitioning 5-year-olds, giving them, you know, hormone blockers and destroying any future they might have. 5-year-olds. Now, a 9-year-old was helped by none other than Pete Buttigieg to come out as gay. I don't have many memories of what I was doing when I was 9, but what I do remember of my early childhood involves climbing trees, making slingshots out of branches and old tire rubber, going fishing with my grandpa. But there was no hint of sexuality, whether heterosexual or otherwise. I never looked at a little girl in school with her pigtails and her little communist uniform of blue and white check patterns and go, "Hey, I like girls." We're sexualizing 9-year-olds. Pete Buttigieg actually helped a 9-year-old boy come out as gay. You're telling me that a 9-year-old has the wherewithal and temerity to say, "When I grow up, I want to be sodomized or be a sodomite." This is what presidential politics has become. This is the low bar to entry. Pete Buttigieg helps a 9-year-old boy come out as gay. But you're all a flutter over Trump's tweets? Seriously. So let's get into this. Because when I saw the title, it made me angry. It's that anger that's boiling, and it won't stop boiling. Because you see the agenda, you see what they're attempting to do. And this is not an isolated case. They're going after young kids, trying to mess with their minds, trying to confuse them. And between that and the Boy Scouts and the Catholic Church priests, there's no reason to wonder why homosexuality has exploded. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg helped a 9-year-old boy come out as gay during a Denver rally Saturday night. Mr. Buttigieg, who is gay, read Zachary Rowe's question out loud and then invited the boy to join him on stage. "Would you help me tell the world I'm gay too? I want to be brave like you." Now, you know that this was a political stunt. You know, this was all planned out. Even so, I'd like 30 minutes alone in a room with this child's parents. I wouldn't even need, you know, a nightstick. 9 years old. 9 years old. You are using your child as a prop, confusing him for the rest of your life. There is no way that a 9-year-old can discern, understand, and process what it means to be a homosexual. I'm sorry, we're not wired to have sexual desire for the same sex at 9. We're not hardwired to have sexual desire for the same sex at any age. Because once you start doing the research, once you start getting down to the numbers, once, you know, you get past the propaganda, you realize that a lot, perhaps the majority of those who say they're homosexual were abused sexually when they were younger. It's a pathology. It's not a natural state for a human being, because if it were a natural state, there would be no continuity of species. That would mean nature itself was on a suicidal track. But we're getting a little into the weeds. Let's continue. Zachary entered the stage as the crowd cheered and chanted, "Love is love!" 9 years old. Love is love. 9 years old. So we're not just talking about homosexuality, we're talking about pedophilia as well. 9 years old. Love is love. And you're telling me we shouldn't expect the fire of God to come raining down? And you're telling me we shouldn't expect the judgment of God to overtake this nation like a tsunami? Love is love. We have lost our bearings. We have lost our moral compass. And with them, we have lost our minds. This man wants to be president of these United States. Never once did it cross his mind, he's nine, maybe, you know, give him a few years. Let's say we revisit this notion when he's old enough to drive. He couldn't decide on his My Little Pony or Frozen underwear this morning, but you're telling me the boy is sure as all get out that at 9 years old, he harbors sexual attraction to men. Love is love. And yes, I know, I've harped on this and I'm going to continue to do it because nothing's changed. I blame the church. The church is to blame. We talked about this last week. An AG church in Texas, of all places, has now opened its arms and its heart to the LGBTQPRSWW dot community. Yes, all inclusive. Do what you want, when you want, how you want. Jesus still loves you, just give us your tithe. So here we are. I don't know where to go from here. We've now embraced the notion of homosexual pedophilia, because that's what it is. He's nine! Nine! He was born in 2011. Not 1972, not 1987. A nine-year-old boy being used as a prop to push pedophilia, to push homosexuality, and you have a crowd chanting, "Love is love." Be looking for the brimstone because it is a-coming. Because we're not far off, kids. We're not far off from being called bigots and homophobes and xenophobes and transphobes if we don't open the door and offer up our children when they come a-knocking. See, I it's sad that we can't do it. Because some of you are shaking your head going, that's never going to happen. But what's sad is that if I could take the you from 30 years ago or 20 years ago and teleport them into today, the you from 20 years ago was adamant that what is happening today is never going to happen here. You would have bet everything on it. You would have sworn up and down, that's never going to happen. But it is. It's happening. We're seeing it happen. And so when I tell you it's going to get as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, when men will just kick in your door, you have guests and they're pretty, bring them out. Why do you think we're so far off from that? I'd like to know. Because as I said, the you from 20 years ago would have sworn that we would never get as depraved as we are now. So yes, the man whom much of the church is trying to justify because, well, you know, he's not Trump. And he says he's a believer. You know, there's that little thing about being married to another man, but hey, at least he's faithful. He's a faithful homosexual. So now he's bringing 9-year-old boys on stage at political rallies, helping him come out as gay, with crowds chanting, "Amore es amore," or "Love is love." So yes, that should have made your stomach turn just a wee bit. I'm going to take a sip, and then we're going to go on to another story, because as I said, it's a packed day. And I'm still going to get into the whole socialism-communism thing, because it's appealing to a certain segment of the populace. But what they don't understand is that they will only be given what they want until the people hungry for power attain their power. So let's talk socialism. Because if you say communism, apparently Bernie gets angry. And we wouldn't want Bernard Sanders to have another episode. You know, fragile ticker and all. So let's call it democratic socialism, as he is fond of saying, because he's for the working man. Look, Bernie Sanders doesn't care about the working man. Bernie Sanders wouldn't give a flying rip for the working man if he had a satchel full of flying rips. Bernie Sanders realized that he could isolate a very small minority and get a majority to look at that minority and say, "Hey, you have too much, and that's not fair." That's why Bernie Sanders keeps beating the drum on billionaires and millionaires. Well, he doesn't say millionaires anymore now, does he? Because he's a millionaire. See, as soon as Bernie became a millionaire, he stopped talking about millionaires. So now it's only the billionaires that are evil and rotten. So I'm going to go through this because I think it's a good way for you to explain socialism to other people that don't quite understand it. Imagine a giant ladder, 100 feet wide, 50 feet tall, with people climbing up that ladder at various stages of rungs. Now, some people only dream of getting to the top of the ladder. That's it. They devote their entire lives to getting to the top of the ladder. Others are comfortable at the bottom of the ladder. Others are comfortable midway up. But you see, the more you climb, the harder it is on you. The more you climb that ladder, the more you exert yourself. If you start talking to people who built up businesses and became the dreaded billionaire, I guarantee you that most of them, if not all of them, will look back on their life and point out what they had to neglect in order to succeed in business. Some neglected their wives, some neglected their children, some neglected their health, some neglected all three. Because to them, getting to the top of the ladder was preeminent. It was the singular desire of their heart. I know I'm not going to spiritualize this. I'm not going to, well, it should have been Jesus. I'm talking practical terms. I mean, we can still look at what some people in the world do and analyze their conduct because we need to, you know, tease out a few truths. So there are some whose only dream and desire is to get to the top of the ladder. Now, most of them, once they get up there, realize it wasn't worth the sacrifice. It wasn't worth the heartache. It wasn't worth the headache. It wasn't worth the trouble. Because you don't become a captain of industry. You don't become a billionaire without making enemies along the way, without having disgruntled employees, without having to fire people, without having to, you know, miss a few nights worth of sleep because you can't make payroll and all that jazz. So, you have those at the top. Now, you have those that are, you know, on the middle of the ladder, a few rungs up, who climbed and then realized, I'd rather stop climbing and spend time with my children. I'd rather stop climbing and spend time with my wife. I'd rather stop climbing and enjoy the life that I have without spending every waking moment trying to climb to the next rung. And so they make the necessary changes in order to stop climbing, but spend more quality time with their kids, spend more quality time with their wives or husbands. And then you have the people at the bottom of the ladder who just don't want to bother, who just don't want to exert themselves. Because I will stipulate this, and I tell you the truth, and I will believe it until the day I die. If you want to succeed in America, you can succeed in America. I'm not talking about becoming a billionaire, but being comfortable. There's a million and one ways to earn a living in this country. Now, along came none other than Bernard Sanders, a man whose past is very questionable, a man who praises the likes of Fidel Castro and the old Soviet Union. You know, things like that. And he comes along and he says to the mass at the bottom of the ladder, look at all those people up there. Look at all those people on the top rung. They don't deserve to be there. You got them there. Even though the people at the bottom of the ladder had absolutely nothing to do with those who climbed to the top of the ladder. But the people at the bottom of the ladder like to hear that they're responsible for getting that person to the top, because it means they didn't waste their lives playing video games and power eating Doritos. It means that they didn't waste their lives living in their mom's basement trying to get top score on Call of Duty every night. They surmised that that crazy old loon with the white hair waving his finger all the time, he's right. I'm the one that got him up there. And then, once you isolate the minority, once you tell that majority at the bottom of the ladder that, hey, you're responsible for him getting up there and he's not sharing, he's not spreading the wealth, Bernie comes up with a brilliant idea, as has every communist before him, Marxist or socialist, whatever you want to call it. All we're going to do is take that top tier of people at the tippy top of the rung of the ladder, and cut them down a peg so that all of you people at the bottom of the ladder who never had any aspiration to climb it will get something. And it's human nature to go, sounds fair to me. And at first, as has been shown in places like Venezuela, Russia, Romania, every other country that is former communist, wink, wink, at first, things go gangbusters. The first couple years are great. People are getting free stuff left and right. Santa Claus is coming every day. But then you run out of the resources of the people at the top of the rung. And then you point to those at the bottom of the rung and goes, look at those people at the middle. Do you think they deserve to be there? You put them in the middle. See, because it's always descending. It doesn't stop descending. First, it's the tippy top, the people at the top rung of the ladder. In a few years, it's those in the middle of the ladder. And those that are fortunate that were on top perhaps climb down a few rungs. Others get thrown off the ladder. They lose everything. And they become part of the crowd at the bottom. And so what you have is an increasing base at the bottom of the ladder with the expectation of receiving ever more free things from those on top of the ladder, but guess what? There's nobody on top of the ladder anymore. The Rhodes Scholar known as Bernard Sanders done knocked everyone off the ladder, and everyone's at the bottom now. And then you have a mass of people looking at each other going, hey, where do we get our free stuff now? And it dawns on them, we've been taken. We've been fooled. We've been snookered. But by that time, it's too late. Because if, and I know it's highly unlikely, but only if you don't remain indifferent, only if you don't remain apathetic. But if someone with the mindset of Bernie Sanders becomes president, beginning on the first day of his presidency, his constant desire, his constant drive will continue to be to consolidate power. And all he has to do is keep the rubes happy for as long as it takes him to consolidate power. And once he has consolidated power, once he has control, off comes the velvet glove. And you see Bernie's scrawny hand with his upraised finger going, pay your fair share. Everybody's got to pay the fair share. But Bernie, you got three homes. I don't have one. I've got a mortgage, kid. So how about you pay your fair share? But he never will. Because that's the other dirty trick. That's the other unspoken truth about socialists and communists. They're not bright enough to make it anywhere else but in politics. And once they do, they are not willing to give up that power. Because even at your most generous, even when you feel yourself being the most magnanimous individual to have graced this earth, You can take one look at Bernard Sanders and you know that he never could have been a captain of industry. He is a true believer. Don't get me wrong. He believes in the nonsense he's spouting. That's why he's pulling ahead of all these other people. Because everyone from Sanders to Biden to even Bloomberg, they're not true believers. They're just going through the motions. And this is why Bernie's connecting with a certain segment, man. This is why Ceausescu back in the day connected with a certain segment. Because he believed the nonsense he was spouting. And the nonsense he was spouting that he believed wasn't so much that he wanted to help the worker, he wanted to help the citizen, but that socialism would make his life better. They're not going to make it work. They can't. It's impossible to work it out because eventually you run out of people on the ladder. And everyone's at the bottom looking up, trying to get some crumbs from Bernie. So, yes, the Democrat Party has un poquito problema, as the Californians are fond of saying. They have a wee tiny problem because the man they didn't expect to get any traction is pulling ahead of the pack, and they know that we're not there yet. They know that if it's a heads up between Bernie and Trump, Bernie would lose in a landslide. Give it another 10 years. Look, if Bernie was 20 years younger, I guarantee you he'd be president in 2034. Because it's the trajectory towards which we're headed. You have to look at trajectory. You have a lot of the older folk that knew what it meant to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, that knew what it meant to work hard. And then you have this up-and-coming generation of absolute losers who smell like weed and hemp and body odor, whose mind shuts off after they hear the word free. Because if you take a look at all the things that have been promised for free, from education to healthcare to what now daycare to babysitting to transition surgery, there's not enough money in the world, never mind in the U.S. And apparently these kids' parents were so absentee, they never taught them the most important truism of life. Nothing is free. Everything, somebody, something. And by the time they realize it, by the time they realize they've given up their freedom, their independence, their choice, for a few scraps that Bernie's willing to throw at their face to shut them up, it'll be too late. So for a little while, I guess, if Bernie does become the Democrat nominee, you should probably short shampoo and soap, because them Bernie bros don't look like they use it much. You're wondering to yourself, I know you are, how can all these things be going on? How can these people have such idiotic ideas and the media doesn't call them out on it? Hint, because the media is in on it. I just happened across a story. It's just so you understand that there's a concerted effort to dumb down the population. There is a concerted effort to spoon feed you a certain narrative. Because all things being equal, if the media was unbiased, this nation's ideology would be very different. But I just ran across this. These are the people presenting the news to us. These are the people, the gatekeepers, as it were, of the information they deem necessary for you to digest. ABC News' David Wright identifies as a socialist. That's right. This is a senior ABC News correspondent. And I know, because he's going to come out, well, my views don't matter. I am an unbiased reporter. But if you go, I guarantee, if you go through the history of what he's reported, there's a bend. There's a concerted effort to make you think one way, because that's what they do. Senior ABC News correspondent David Wright accused his own network of denying President Donald Trump credit for his administration's accomplishments and revealed that he's a socialist, according to an undercover video captured by Project Veritas. I like these Project Veritas guys, man. And apparently, these people are so dumb, they keep talking to strangers about things they shouldn't. So now it's David Wright's turn in the barrel. I feel terrible about it, Wright says, of ABC's coverage of the presidential election. I feel that the truth suffers, the voters are poorly informed, and people have the opportunity to tune into whatever they want to hear. But you're still a socialist. It's like there's no upside in our boss. There's no upside in, or our bosses don't see an upside in doing the job we're supposed to do, which is to speak truth to power and hold people accountable. Please. Please. Hold people accountable? You people haven't held anyone accountable since George Bush was president. In another part of the video, Wright claims that the media doesn't hold President Donald Trump to account, and then he admits that reporters don't give the president credit where it's due. Well, that's obvious. I think some of that, at least, in the place that I work and places like it, that with Trump, we're interested in three things. We're interested in the outrage of the day, the investigation, and of the palace intrigue of who's backstabbing whom. Later in the footage, Wright is asked about his political ideology, to which he says that he not only sees himself as a Democrat socialist, but a full-blown socialist. So you have a man that's making, I would hazard to guess, over $1 million a year for doing nothing more than dressing up, holding a microphone, and talking in 30 to 45 second sound bites. See, it's the same mistake that we made with people who we thought were indoctrinated into, you know, violent Islam. We thought it was only the goat herders. We thought it was only the uneducated. We thought it was only those people who'd never seen a book in their life. And, well, when they saw a pencil, they thought it was for stabbing somebody. And then we realized that there are Islamic extremists who went to Harvard. There are Islamist extremists who went to boarding school in Switzerland. There are Islamic extremists who are multi-millionaires and some who are billionaires. And we're seeing that it's not only the unwashed and it's not only the, cleanliness challenged that gravitate towards socialism or democratic socialism. But even people like Mr. Wright, who not only sees himself as a democrat socialist, but as a full-blown socialist. And he continues and says, I think there should be national health insurance. I'm totally fine with reining in corporations. I think there are too many billionaires. And I think that there's a wealth gap. That's the problem. So Mr. Wright is somewhere, you know, not top of the rung, but second, third tier. And he's looking up and he sees a few people at the top of the rung and he goes, there's too many of you up there. Not realizing that once those people are pushed off, it's his turn next. And this is the one secret that communists and socialists, again, whatever you want to call them, really like to keep close to their chest. Once we get through with the billionaires, once we get through with the millionaires, once we get through with the 100,000-aires now, eventually it will be your turn. But hey, vote for us. Until it's your turn, you'll get some free baubles. So, anyway, that's where the Constitutional Republic, known as these United States of America, is right now. It's coming down to a choice between a communist and a capitalist. And my advice to you is that you take nothing for granted. Don't assume. Never assume. Because that's what the other side did in 2016. They assumed. Well, you know, he's not going to get any votes. And here we are. But once you understand what socialism is, once you understand what communism is, you'll do everything in your power to reject it and convince other people to reject it as well. Because unlike Bernard Sanders is fond of saying, democratic socialism is bringing everyone up. No, democratic socialism is dragging everyone down. And I understand, you know, I'm not a billionaire, I don't care. Well, no, you're not. And neither am I. I'm not a millionaire or a 100,000-aire. However, in the current Constitutional Republic framework, if you desire to be a millionaire or a 100,000-aire or even a billionaire, it's your right to aspire to it. It's your right to work towards it. In Bernie Sanders' framework, that of democratic socialism or communism, anytime you aspire to touch the ladder, anytime you aspire to climb one rung above, there would be a semi-literate with a giant bat that will wrap you on your knuckles for even attempting, daring to attempt to aspire to anything more than the crumbs that he's willing to throw at you. And that's the difference. So, there would have been a lot more to talk about. We didn't even get to the San Francisco declaration that they need to declare a state of emergency over the coronavirus that hasn't been documented as even having one case in San Francisco. But we'll see where it shakes out. Look, I think that for the last few days, the world's been in a panic because they were hoping that it gets contained. And now it's spreading throughout Europe. And if it's in Italy, man, it'll spread everywhere. Including Romania. I hope I'm wrong, but you know, 30% of the people working in Italy are Romanians, and they visit home often. So, but again, balance. It's not an 80% mortality rate, and it's not Ebola. I'm sad and heartbroken for the 2% that are the most susceptible. But as some people are fond of saying, it could be worse. You know that it could. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to us. Hopefully we will be with you again next week. Hopefully we will have better news to report. But until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. This has been the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. Until next week, God bless. Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. I just want to mention that March 6th in our area in Watertown, Wisconsin, we're going to be having a Stand 2020 event where Michael will be speaking. And it's basically an event to encourage leaders around our state and others to get more active in the communities and in our state to defend the faith and to be proactive. And if you're interested in coming to that event, the tickets are free. There is a meal cost involved. And you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. And I will email you back on how to get tickets, et cetera. Also, our website, handofhelp.com, we have books and DVDs. The Battle Ready Believer is a book that we will be promoting the night of the Stand 2020 event. A very good book on your armor and the weapons of our warfare. We encourage you to check that out as well. As Mike said, the brimstone's coming, quite a quote, when 9-year-old kids don't know their gender orientation, or they do espouse to tendencies that are against the Bible, you know we really have fallen far as a nation. And there's a video called Wake Up America. I really would urge people to get that and show it to their group or their church. And the Through the Fire Without Burning book, a whole testimony of what Dimitri Dudeman went through and the message God gave him for America. And we never want to forget there is a message God gave for America, 100% message from God about our country. And sad to say, as Mike mentioned, we seem to be sliding towards that judgment. So we really need in 2020 to stand for the faith. As Mike said, it's the church's fault that we're in this position with homosexual rights and marriage. And we really need to fight and defend the faith and really get restoration back with traditional marriage, with the sanctity of life. And the church has to be involved in those issues. They're biblical issues. Life is sacred. Life is a gift from God. And again, we urge you to be involved. So either way, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. God bless you.